We're on.
Good morning. It is January 12, 2022. This is the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors budget work session for the county engineer. This is Latifah Faisal, Story County Supervisor. With me is Supervisor Lisa Hedden, Supervisor Linda Merkin, Director of External Operations Sandra King, County Auditor Lucy Martin, Assistant Auditor Lisa Markley, and on the phone, do we have Darren on the phone?
Yes.
County Engineer Darren Moon. Do you have anyone else there with you, Darren?
Yes, I'm here. This is Lori Mensing.
Wonderful. So we want to just hop in on page 93.
You found a sheet out there and have it in front of you? Okay, perfect. Thanks.
I prefer to start on page 95 if that's okay.
Sure.
I think that's a little more straightforward, the spreadsheet, the internal spreadsheet.
You bet.
Which is just the narrative for his revenues.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay, we'll start with the revenues then. Not a lot changing on the revenue altogether.
I'm sorry, did we just have someone join the call?
Not sure who that is.
It's Leanne. Sorry.
Oh. Hi, Leanne. I think you might need to mute your mic, Leanne, or mute yourself. Okay.
Okay. Moving on with revenues, the third line down there, the road use tax fund, of course, is the biggest item for us for our revenue. $4.62 million. The only thing I'd point out there is that usually goes up every year. That you'll see the three-year average is a little higher. That's due to we did get some injection of COVID funds in 21, about $400,000, I think it was. So that bumped up one of those years. So the average looks a little high there. But 4.623 is what the DOT is estimating we'll get in FY23. Not a lot that's going to change with the rest of the revenue items.
Darren, I just had a question on the roads and transportation service. Your three-year average says $504,000, but then the other years say a total of $45,000.
Yeah, what that is when we do some federal aid bridge projects that are on our local system, we have to get reimbursed locally. And so sometimes we have large reimbursements. I think in FY21, I think we had almost $800,000 of bridge money coming back from the federal government. But we don't have any. That doesn't happen as much anymore with the swap going on. So it fluctuates a lot. That's the reasoning for that.
Thank you.
Was that line 2661?
Any other questions on any revenue?
Yes, okay. State payments.
That was one I had too.
I don't believe so. Any other questions?
That was.
Okay. Hey, nope. No other questions.
And I did adjust your revenue request internally because of what the valuations were and what the amount we were looking at for transferring to secondary roads from the general and the rural. I'm assuming you saw that in there. That's 75%, okay?
Sure. Okay.
All
Moving on, I see sheet 97. That's a request of our additional technician position. Just to kind of summarize that, we currently have two technicians. One has been unfilled pretty much for a year now, so we're really down to one technician. And that one technician that we do have is getting very close to retirement. So we're almost in crisis mode here. We don't have technicians. We can't do construction. Mm-hmm. Just give an example, one asphalt job. We've got two big asphalt jobs this summer. One job alone takes three inspectors out there, one at the plant, one on the grade, and then one taking tickets. We had pretty much one last year, and Tyler really helped out. And then I was even out there myself quite a bit. That just can't continue to happen. We're getting burnt out. And, Tyler and Brian have both been pretty much doing the job of two people for the past really 2 years. To make matters worse, there's a technician shortage right now. So we've had the position open for at least 6 months and have had no good applicants, no qualified applicants. So that's one issue. The other issue is with the retirement coming up, we want to get some people in as soon as we can to learn underneath the existing technician. It's a pretty technical job. It takes a lot of learning. And we're going to be getting, sounds like, people coming in with zero experience. So I'm asking to add one more technician position. I'd like to see it permanent, but for now we can just call it temporary for, you know, succession planning. We just get a little overlap in there if we can. I take it right now if we could get it, but the way that applicants are, there's just none out there, so that's why I've got it halfway through the next year when we hope to see some more grads come out of the tech schools. But if something really changed drastically, I don't know how it could and came up sooner, I'd probably be requesting something sooner, but I don't see that happening. So right now, yeah, the request is to add that technician in the second half of the fiscal year. So we'd just be budgeting in FY23 for half of that position. I should probably just point out now while we're talking about it, to make matters a little bit worse, two more counties just, we have a job posting for county engineers. Two more counties just added technician jobs, Johnson County and Dallas County. So that makes at least five looking for technicians. Well, I will say we're currently, out of those five, we're the lowest paying and one of the highest cost of living counties. So that puts us in a pretty bad position. So one, we need to probably look at bumping up our pay scale very quickly if we can. And we had an HR specialist come to our engineers conference last month, talked about some of these, and she did comment that counties typically are pretty rigid on, you know, vacation time and what you start out with. And she said this is the first time she's ever seen counties are starting to budge. They're having to offer more upfront just to get these people in the door. It's a changing environment right now drastically. But so I'll leave that at that for now. But that's the request in the budget is to add the additional technician for just half of the year. Hopefully we could even get that filled.
Darren, this is Linda. I have a question. I wasn't able to, I didn't look up the job specs. Are we able to hire somebody straight out of DMAC, a two-year program, without any experience? Is that allowed?
I would take that right now if I could get it, yeah.
Okay.
But there's nobody available. COVID shut them down for a year, so there's no spring graduates out of DMAC.
Okay. Thank you.
And I do believe the governor's pretty much made the engineering technician 2 year tech schooling free at this point, so anybody that wants to go into it can do it for free.
Mm-hmm. And then does your chart on 98 go along with that, or is that separate?
That's kind of an addition to it. Kind of just shows staffing levels. We've talked about that for a number of years. And those are just some random counties. No particular reason I picked. Some are similar sizes to Story County, just to show you staffing levels, particularly the engineer side, but maintenance as well. We're struggling with staff, kind of always have. We used to have a lot more, but over the past 20 years, they've really cut back on us. And I don't know how we get done what we do, but we struggle. And you can see Story County has 6 engineering employees. That's really been 5 for the past year, almost 2 years. So there's some counties similar to us that have twice as many engineering employees, and we could keep them busy, trust me. So that's just an example. If you have any other county in particular you'd want to see data on, I can get any county you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, this is helpful, Darren. Thank you.
So, any more questions about that? I can move on to expenditures.
Yeah, looks like we're good. Good to move on.
Okay, I will go to sheet 101. Starting with the administration, not a lot of changes in any of the administration items. Let's see. Yeah, nothing to really comment on there. That's all pretty standard office stuff. Moving down to engineering, the consultant line item. We typically do most of our designs in-house, but that might be changing if we can't find the employees and that item. Consultant designs are very expensive, so that could increase drastically. We have $40,000 in there. We always have some typical consultant we have to use for soil borings for bridges. There's archaeology studies we have to do. There's a number of things we can't do in-house that we have to contract out every year. But we currently have 2 designs going on by a consulting engineer for bridges. One is the 150th Skunk River Bridge. That's mostly completed design. But the newest one is S14. The board approved that. It's a bridge we'd like to get reconstructed or rebuilt next year. So we're kind of on a short time frame, so we hired a consultant to get that one designed. So $40,000 is kind of just a standard number we use because we know things are going to come up. No major changes till we get down to the last one, bridge inspections. It's $60,000. That's an every other year expense. You'll see there was $25,000 in FY22, and that was, there's usually no expense in the off year, but that's due to those extra legislator-driven bridge postings. We had to get a bunch of bridges re-rated in the off year, so that's why there was expenses in an off year there. So that concludes engineering and then takes us to bridges and culverts. These couple items have been big items for us this past year for a number of reasons. One, we ran into a bunch of immediate bridge repairs we needed to do from our last bridge inspection cycle. I budgeted $100,000 for bridge repairs. There is a possibility that could increase greatly. Looking at a couple of bridge deck patching jobs, one on Cameron School Road. That's significantly more patching. We're just putting out that for quotes here in the next couple of weeks here, and it had a lot more than we anticipated for bad concrete. So while I have $100,000 in that, I may be coming back to the board to increase that item. we're going to be looking at more bridge deck repair jobs out there. We're getting a lot of our paved system that's starting to show potholes and aging.
Darren, do you have an idea
of what type of increase you might be looking at? Some of it depends on. This is one of those items that we're never quite sure which side of July 1st it'll get done on. So some of it could fall under the existing FY22 that we have. We could potentially be, if everything falls the wrong way, an extra $100,000 might be needed in that for FY23. We had a similar issue with the culverts this year. We did a lot of culvert inspections in-house, and we found a lot of emergency culvert repairs, culverts that were completely shot. We're able to address a bunch of those under our pavements with these liners. Some of it's a brand new liner system, and we're fortunate to have a consultant or a contractor in Story County that does those. We're able to get four or five done for about $50,000, but the one that's left, that one's going to cost $50,000 alone. That's because of the size and the length of the culvert, and that's on Country Club Road south of Nevada here. It's a 36-inch metal culvert that's 120 feet long. It's because it's 30 feet deep in the ground. So that we're getting quotes on right now, but it appears to be right around the $50,000 range. So that's an item that's greatly increased, and again, we're hoping to get that done in FY22, but that could carry over into FY23. So while we're budgeting $80,000, that's an item all counties are struggling with right now. All these pavements that were done in the 50s, 60s, 70s, all the culverts are starting to go bad under them now, and so we're doing a lot of these liners because it costs a lot to tear out concrete, fold up and put it back. So it's a lot more efficient to do liners in these culverts, but they're not cheap to do either. So that's what we're talking about, bridges and culverts. That's moving on to crushed gravel and limestone on page 102. I wanted to do a little explanation of what's been going on with this item. It's one of our larger items, putting new rock on our gravel roads, of course. After we had that terrible spring thaw in 2019, we really ramped up our budget for rock. So in FY21, we actually spent nearly $1.6 million on rock alone. That's probably $600,000-$700,000 more than we ever have before in the past. We were able to get that much out there, but we found it's kind of hard to get that much out in a year. That's a lot of truckloads of rock. And that was this past spring into summer, and you know how dry it was. So it's actually not the best year to put that much new rock out there because we couldn't ever get it bedded in. It was so dry. So we did get quite a few complaints about loose rock and stuff all summer. So we're going to cut that back some. We re-estimated down in FY22 to $1.4 million, and then I'm only asking for $1.2 in FY23. We just think that's going to be a little more realistic, and our roads have held up well since that 2019 spring, but you never know. We could get another bad one. They come out of nowhere. So we are starting to decrease that some, but historically, we've spent $700,000-$800,000 a year. So the $1.2 million, I suppose, is where I need to bring up that there's a 9% increase in rock cost. That's probably twice as much as we've ever seen in the past as a percent increase year to year. 9%, when you have a $1 million budget item, that's quite a bit of an extra $100,000 just for inflation.
Darren, this is Lisa.
Yep.
So does this take into, also, I'm assuming it does, consideration with the potential of increased truck traffic with the Revio plant?
Yeah, that really only impacts 1 mile, so, okay. You know, we did, if a mile got really bad in a year, you know, we could spend $5,000 to $6,000 on that mile, but so that it's not a huge impact.
Okay, thanks.
Moving on, patching hot cold mix, not much of a change there. It's a pretty typical number for us. That's a lot of crack sealing and stuff we do on our pavements for maintenance. Moving down. Pretty typical numbers all the way down through the rest of road maintenance. Takes us to snow and ice control. 120,000, that's mostly for salt and sand costs. That's just inflation, and that's pretty typical cost for us, so not a big change there. Going into traffic control, a comment on a number of these items. Steel costs are out of control right now. We just got an email from our sign company saying there's going to be a 25 to 30% increase in signs starting next month. That's a pretty huge increase, so we put in a quick $10,000 order last week just to get some at the old cost. But that's all due to the steel prices for sign fabrication.
So that's why you've reestimated this year to 243? Or is there something else going on in there?
That's the 45 under traffic control is where I'm looking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But yeah, that adds into that 243 you're talking about.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at, I was looking at page 99.
Oh, the total?
The total.
Yeah. That's a combination of sign increase and the pavement markings. That's due to a shortage in the paint. So we were not able to get paint done we usually paint in the spring. So nobody could get paint in the spring, so they were able to get some after July 1st. And so we're essentially going to do paint twice in FY22. So that's why our re-estimate in 22 is 150,000.
Okay,
so
paint, yeah, not the signs, okay.
That's assuming we can get paint this spring, but we hope to. We're looking at some other options, maybe buying paint directly from the DOT or something. But we believe there's still a shortage like everything else right now. So yeah, those are the two items in traffic services that increased our re-estimate number, but our FY23 numbers are pretty similar to what they have been in the past. No big change in road clearing. Those are small items. So that takes us to new equipment.
Oh, Darren, can we go back a little bit?
Yeah.
On signs, does that include stop signs?
Yes.
I just wondered, because I've seen you've put up and cities have put up some stop signs with some kind of lighting on them, flashing lights. I've noticed them in McCallsburg and I think someplace else north, as well as the one you put on Dayton. I just wondered what the cost of those is compared to a regular sign.
Oh, probably 20 times the cost. So we try to resist that wherever possible. We don't have any. We've got a flashing light on a couple with solar power, and those are, I think, $1,500 just for the flashing light. But the flashers around the stop sign itself, we try to resist those because once we put one up, everybody's going to want it. We have hundreds of stop signs.
Yeah, the other one I saw was in Nevada. I remember because it's just right down the street from here. And I think those might be a little extra, but just the ones with the one flasher, like the one on Dayton, seem to be reasonable then. Is that right? More reasonable priced?
Yeah, and the other issue with those is they work decent in town. You get them out in the rural areas, they become target practice for shotguns, and they don't last as long, and they get stolen. So it's a lot harder for us to keep those out in the rural areas as well.
Okay. The one you put on Dayton's been there for quite a while, and nothing's happened to it, so.
Okay. We've had to replace it once already. It got you? Taken out by a semi that turned too sharp. But,
I'm sure it wasn't
Randy
Merkley.
No,
probably
sure
gravel.
Might have been. Yeah.
That's pretty close.
Okay, thanks, Darren.
Yep. So that takes us to new equipment. The first item we have is we'd like to get another tandem truck at $240,000. Trucks are a real issue right now. It's over a year out to get a new truck, a heavy-duty truck. In the past couple years, we've asked the board, after the board had approved the next year's budget, if we could order the trucks before the fiscal year started, and that was allowed. We're kind of at the point now where we're going to request the board allow us to order the truck before the budget's even approved. So we'd like to get some proposals, and they would still come through the board meeting for approval, but it would be before the budget even gets approved. The truck we ordered last year, I think we ordered it in March. We're not going to see it this March. It's over a year out. They told us at that point we'd have it for winter operations, and we didn't get it. They are serious when they say they're at least a year and a half out now. So
kind of crazy. Darren, this is Latifah. So are you saying then that this $240,000 may actually just not be in this budget here because you're going to ask for it early? Just asking for clarification.
No, it's going to be in this budget. He just wants to order it because it's going to take long enough that this budget's going to be farther into. We're going to be way into the year before he gets it.
Okay, thank you.
So, yes.
But you are correct. If we order this today, we might not see it in FY23.
Right.
So it could even be 24 at this point. So that's the issues with the trucks. While we're on that, I just wanted to comment real quick on my quarterly report yesterday. Had some stuff about biodiesel and what we're looking at there. We're investigating that, but I did want to point out with some of the issues we're having with the trucks. Our newest truck, our 21 tandem truck, we had it. It's the new emissions. We've had issues with them for years, but this one, and even when they're brand new, we have issues with them. And our newest truck, the sensor went out in the DEF tank, which is the diesel exhaust fluid that burns for the emissions system. Sensor went out, and that truck was going to be down for 9 weeks at least to get the sensor out. So that pretty much took our newest truck out the entire winter. Mm. They were able to find a bypass around the sensor without disengaging the exhaust system, but we were a little nervous before they didn't find that runaround. But so those are the continued issues we're getting with these exhaust systems. And so that's why we're a little nervous to add one more added complexity, because mm-hmm. we just can't get parts to anything right now. It's crazy.
That makes sense.
The next item is a sign truck. That's the truck that goes out and maintains all of our road signs. Current truck is about 10 years old, so by the time we got it replaced, it'd probably be 12 years old, and it's got about 150,000 miles on it now. Two pickups, that's more or less to make up for the trucks we didn't get last year. You can't really even order pickups right now. We got one this current fiscal, but that was actually, I think, budgeted in the prior fiscal year. It took so long to get that even. So the two pickups are just trying to make up for the ones we didn't get the past year or two. The mini excavator is a brand new asking. It's a tool we've been using a lot lately for a lot of bridge repairs and stuff. We've been able to rent some, and demo some since they knew we were looking for one. We able to demo one for a while from CAT, but we find it very useful for us. We can't get off the road with our excavators because they're rubber tired. So this mini excavator is smaller and a lot less expensive, but it has tracks on it, so we can get it down and under bridges and stuff to do work. That's why we need one of those. And lastly, the spray patcher. That's what we patch our asphalt pavements with. It's one of our most important tools we have for patching potholes in a timely fashion. For example, last summer when we had R70 South Highway 30 blow up in two or three spots, we were able to get out there with the spray patcher right away and patch those back up and keep the road open. Otherwise, we would have had to completely close that road for days. That's a very important tool for us, and the one we have is over 20 years old. It's really starting to show its age, but we need one that's a little more reliable. We have a lot of clogging issues with it. That's an important tool for us. Any questions about new equipment?
No, it doesn't look like it, Darren.
Okay. The one thing that doesn't show up here is our motor grader lease payment that we use a lot, local option sales tax money for. I guess the only thing I wanted to bring up there, like everything else, everything's going through the roof in cost right now. And our last motor graders we got, it's been about 3 years ago now, we're $310,000, I think. The latest bids coming out are pushing $400,000 already. So in 2 years, we're going to have to renew our lease. We'll get into carryover balance later, but we're going to have to designate even more than we originally planned there. It's going to probably be closer to $1.5 million we need to use for the lease renewal. Moving on to equipment operations. No big changes there. There's the one big item, $860,000. That includes a lot of stuff. That's all of our fuel, tires, oil. So there's a lot lumped into that item, but stays pretty consistent. Tools, material supply, no big change there. Buildings and drainage districts. One thing we've been trying to get done for a couple years now is Nevada salt bin. Our main shed here, our salt bin outside, we'd like to get covered and put an asphalt pad down, kind of similar to the building we put up down at the new Kelly shed. We have the DOT lined up 2 years to come in and put an asphalt pad for us pretty cheaply, and then COVID hit, so they backed out on us. But we're still trying to find ways to get this salt shed in town here done, and that's what that part of that $40,000 is for there. So that takes the sheet 104, gets into the labor and salary portion. The only thing I would want to comment there is under extra help, that's our summer help for $40,000. I do have something on the board agenda next week. I worked with Alyssa on that, and at this point we just put it on the consent agenda to increase our pay scale for summer help. It hasn't been increased for 3 years. It was $13 an hour just to compete with the DOT and stuff in the area. We have to bump that up. I believe we got that to $15 an hour now. So that request will be coming next week at the board meeting. But we're really going to have to rely on some summer help this next summer. I hopefully have one Iowa State student. I kind of manned the career fair booth for county engineers and met some good engineers at that. I think I have one that would be committed to help us through the summer with construction. That'd be really helpful. The issue is when they go back to school in August. That tends to be when all of our projects ramp up, August and after. So we're still going to be shorthanded, but hopefully if we can get as many summer help as we can, that's really going to help us out. One other item in this section I need the board to address, at least, is the under uniforms. Our uniform policy says the board will set the uniform policy once a year at the budget meeting, so I recommend no change to that. What it is currently is $200 for taxable items, $200 for non-taxable items, and then another $200 for steel-toed boots. So $600 total for clothing allowance. Seems to be working well. A couple years ago, we kind of changed it up and allowed some non-taxable items and some taxable items so they could purchase some more kind of whatever they wanted to, mostly for winter clothing that doesn't have logos on it and stuff. But that's worked out well. But unless the board has any questions, I'd recommend we keep it how we had it this past year. I think it's worked well.
Doesn't look like anyone has any questions or concerns about that.
Okay. That takes us to construction. So I will Sheet 106 has the local construction project review. Then 105 is the map.
106, yeah, 106 is.
No, it's the other way around.
The other way around. 106 is the map, 105 is the list.
Okay, labeled that wrong. So on sheet 105 is the spreadsheet that shows the construction project. Now keep in mind, this is strictly local funded construction we're talking about today. Hopefully in a month or so, we'll talk about the entire construction program, so that'll bring in other types of funding. But this is focused strictly on the local construction right now. And we can talk about the construction project a little more in detail as part of the five-year program discussion. But if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. But the top six there that have the stars by them, 1 through 6, those are carryover from the prior year. That's why they're shown as $0. We're never quite sure what side of the year they're going to fall on construction-wise, so we got to budget it for program in both years. So the first new project would be number 7. That's a larger bridge. We don't normally do bridges this large with local dollars, but as you know, we fortunately have some carryover balance that we'd like to bring down, and that's probably where a lot of it's going to be addressed, is on larger bridges. So that's $500,000 for a bridge on a local gravel road. The rest are all smaller wood bridges. We're replacing with box culverts, so they're not as costly, but
So 8 through 12 will all be culverts?
Yeah, well, 12 is actually small. We might be able to replace that one with some pipes next to a DNR ground, so we need to work with the DNR on it, but we hope to do that one fairly cheap for about $40,000. But it does replace a wood bridge with smaller culverts.
Okay. Darren, do you expect any of these projects to qualify for the federal funding for bridges and the infrastructure funding? Or do you not have enough information yet?
That's kind of a two-part question. One, most of the funds are going to go into our federal bridge fund like they always have. So we'll discuss those projects when we go through the five-year program as a total and we bring into the farm market federal aid portion.
Okay.
So these are more on the local side. There'll be more projects added with other types of funding. But then the other side of that is there's some additional grant monies that you can apply for. And unfortunately, so far, the guidance we're getting is there's some very high minimums on that. I think for bridges, the minimum application is $25 million. So we don't have many $25 million bridges in the county.
Thank goodness.
Not sure how that's all going to pan out, but like you said, that the federal aid bill could take 6 to 9 months for the DOT to figure out how much they're going to give the counties, and so that's going to take a while to get all panned out. A couple more things we'll need to talk about here. Let's start with one. I've added a 13th project yesterday after a discussion with the City of Ames on the Cameron School and G.W. Carver traffic signals. Don't have a dollar amount for that yet, but Linda was at that meeting and kind of negotiating how much the county should be responsible for traffic signals. I do agree with the city somewhat that it'd be nice to address it all now instead of phase in over time. It'd be, I think, better for everybody if that happened. But by doing that, they're kind of, I think, pushing more of the cost on the county than probably what we should be responsible for. So we're trying to work out those details, but I think we probably need to put a placeholder here for some cost. I believe we left it as the city would come to the county with a proposal on.
That's what I asked for, was that they give us a proposal, because what they were suggesting didn't seem to be proportional. Anyway,
funds, we can act on that fairly quickly, and especially if we're just reimbursing a city, we don't have to do the plan development. Mm-hmm. We can act on that fairly quickly. We don't have to have that much advanced lead time, so we can amend the budget if we had to. But just wanted to at least put that placeholder in there for that. And the other thing I wanted to discuss with this is those top six projects, six, they kind of add up to about 700,000. Even they show zeros in there now. That's where I'd like to recommend we used our existing bond money. We have about 750,000 left in their balance. We haven't completely ruled out 13th Street paving happening, but I'd like to get the bond money spent now. And if 13th Street does happen again, we can still use our local dollars to cover that. But we have a time frame on the 3-year time frame we need to get the bond money spent. So I guess Lisa can kind of review that too to see if she thinks that's possible.
I think you need to move forward on that. Yeah, I agree. There's 753,621. And you said these projects are 750? About?
700.
700?
About 700, I would guess.
Lisa, what number did you just give?
The balance of the bond money is $753,621.
If we did something on Cameron and Carver, could we use the rest of the bond money or some of it for that too?
I believe so. Construction project should qualify for that.
Does that include signals? I don't know. Do they want to put a four-way light in there, or what's the plan?
What they're talking about is having left turn lanes and some right turn lanes, I believe, and also a traffic signal. And they're looking, well, none of it's for sure now, but they're talking about the developer doing the lanes, and then we'd be looking at part of the traffic signals.
Okay.
So that wouldn't count. That wouldn't work.
Ames plan is to extend staying up there, right? And then it crosses GW.
It would come up to Cameron, but they can't do that till the Borgmeyer property is enhanced to be developed, and it's not.
Yeah.
So there, that would take a while, potentially. But
I like his idea of doing these projects.
The 700, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that there, you can amend in fund balance to take care of whatever you guys agree to with the Ames situation.
Okay.
If those are 700 and then that's, there'll be change orders or whatever, I think that 753 will
get it all. Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering if there was any money left that would be a use, but no, I'm fine with that.
If there's any money left, do you use it on like the number 12, the Collins Bridge?
Yeah.
Or put it towards some of the, the other larger, so that you're using up all that bond money?
Did you hear her, Darren?
I just want to get it spent as soon as possible.
These
7 through 12, those could be, you know, a ways out into FY23.
Gotcha.
We might be getting close to that deadline, the 3-year bond deadline.
So, yeah, whatever.
If we got some little extra left over, yeah, we could apply it to whatever project we get done first in the year.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, great.
That makes sense.
So in total, we just over $1 million in local construction. That's a little higher than we normally do, but we have some, like I say, carryover balance. One, I guess my only caveat to that, if we don't get some more staff, we just cannot keep doing. We're doing 12 projects a year, and it kind of run us ragged last year. We just can't keep up to that level. So if we can't get more staff, I can't guarantee these projects are going to happen. We just can't keep pushing it, or we're going to lose the staff we do have. So, but that's our goal. Let's see. That. That takes us to the end of our spreadsheet. Again, I comment it, with what we have proposed here, it does still leave us with a pretty good carryover balance. But first, keep in mind, at least right now, I'm targeting $1.5 million of that needs to be reserved for the motor grader renewal lease in 2 years. And then as part of the 5-year program discussion we'll get into in about a month or two, we can talk about where we should start addressing some of these other bigger bridges. We're kind of getting to the point, we're addressing a lot of the smaller bridges, but some of these bigger bridges are going to have to be addressed at some point. And that's where we want to start spending this additional money. We can. We'll have that discussion as part of the 5-year program.
When we discuss that, can you talk about what bridges, the federal bridge money versus the local, and what kind of bridges, what the parameters are for the spending of the different sources? Because I could use some more information on that, but we don't need to do it today. But I do have a question for Lisa Markley. The fund balances that you were looking at, secondary roads was 67%. What does that equate to, roughly?
I wish I had that in here with me, because I don't.
Okay.
Well, just a second. That's easy to figure. Hold on.
Our somewhat rough estimate shows it at $5.3 million.
$5.3 million, of which you need $1.5 million for motor grader.
Yeah, that's 5.5 million. So yeah.
Okay. So we could say there's about 4 million there. So.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
And just going back to the bridges and culverts, 710. Does it make sense to just go ahead and budget more than that 100,000? Since it sounded pretty clear that you were certain that you're going to have to request an increase in that, does it make sense to just go ahead and budget higher rather than...
Yeah, that's a good point. I'd probably be most comfortable just adding an extra $100,000 to that right now and be done with it.
I can do that.
Is that just for bridges or is that also bridges?
It was that bridges and culverts line item that's $180,000 budgeted for next year. He wants to make that $280,000.
Right, but I thought you said before that just to maybe just $100,000 just for the bridges and then also maybe for the culverts. Was I incorrect in hearing that? Darren, did you need...
Yeah.
Are you saying that you may need an extra $100,000 just for the bridges, or was there also an additional amount you needed for the culverts as well?
I just put the 100 in the bridges for now. We really increased our re-estimate for the culvert line item already to 210,000, and that should take care of some of the large ones we have to do this spring.
So I'll take it from 180 to 280 for the major account.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I think that Darren would appreciate, even though the budget is not finalized and not approved, some direction on ordering trucks. When he asked me that question, I've never had that question asked of me before because this is, new territory. But if he comes forward and says next year's budget includes this, can we go ahead and get them out there ordered? Are you willing to look at that?
I am willing to look at that, but do we need to give the direction at a board meeting?
Yes.
Okay. We'll still come with the final cost and everything to be approved by the board at a board meeting.
Okay.
It just won't be an approved budget yet.
Yeah, it's just not an approved.
But it's not.
You're just checking to make sure we would be okay with that, rather than wait till the meeting to find out that we're not. Gotcha.
Sure.
I mean, the sooner he can get it started, the better it's going to be
right.
for him.
I don't know that I want to necessarily ask this, but if, if the roof fell in or something terrible happened, and it's like, are there any ways of getting out of an order? I mean, can you cancel one of those orders if they don't even have the thing made?
Well, in this environment, I don't think we have much problem with...
I wouldn't think so either. I think you could get it and sell it for twice as much as you paid for it, probably.
But,
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think anybody's gonna give you a problem with it. But I just felt like it was a question to ask.
But I guess my point is he's got the money in his funds.
He does.
Regardless of whether it's
even if
quote unquote budgeted yet officially.
Sure. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying if the roof falls in, what's the option? But he's got 67% he's carrying forward, so it's not an issue.
So are the sign truck, pickups, mini excavator, spray catcher, are those all long delays also, or are those a better...
I believe the
mini excavator.
I'm not sure about the spray patcher. I'm pretty sure the mini X we can get quickly, but anything that's truck related, those are all going to have big delays on them.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I don't either. I think it's going to be interesting to get looking at the larger bridges and seeing what kind of numbers we get from on that. So we'll look forward to that. Mm-hmm. No, we need to get.
Yeah, that's going to be a big long discussion because for a couple of reasons. Yeah, we had a lot of bridges on our pave system that were starting to show more age in this past bridge inspection report, but going to take up a lot of that money that I was going to spend on the gravel road bridges. So
was it just 2 years ago?
We're really
going
to have to start identifying which bridges are going to get replaced and which ones aren't, so people know, because we're getting to the point we've closed a lot recently, and that's going to have to continue, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Was it just 2 years ago that you had to do the repairs under the one on Riverside by Ada Hayden?
I think it's been a little longer than that.
Is it now? How's that holding?
You mean when the underneath the bridge it sloughed off?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was concerning, and that seems to be holding up well. Yeah, that was a repair in the middle of winter, so that made that much more difficult, finding dirt in the middle of winter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we got it fixed, and it seems to be holding up pretty well, so happy with that.
Yeah, I was concerned because that bridge gets so much traffic. Mm-hmm. I just wondered about it. So it's good it's holding. I don't have anything else.
Okay. If you don't have anything else, Darren, I think we're done. Thanks so much.
Yep, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Bye.